Shine Runners, welcome to the Shine Runner Show, quenching your marketing, distribution, sales, and experiential event thirst for more horsepower on the craft beer, cider, and spirits industry. My name is Mark Colburn, and I'll be your crew chief. Today's episode, GT500 Brewing, Dinoing the Marketing Mix. Our program's goal is to provide you with an overview of marketing, distribution, sales, and experiential event learnings and experiences from a guy, me, who's been in the craft beer, spirits, and cider biz for 25 years. The objective of this program will be to help you better understand marketing's role, priority, and importance in the marketplace and how it can benefit your business model. Please send Shine Runner episode questions or comments to shinerunner@thebrewingnetwork.com. So a little recap from episode 17, a case history, GT500 Brewing. So as you may recall from the last episode, I decided to invent a fictitious brewery, calling it the GT500 Brewing Company. This case analysis was designed to reflect potential and realistic issues that your company might experience. A GT500 Brewing was founded in 2014 by Holly Cam, an award-winning home brewer. And GT500, as far as the product lifecycle goes, they were in the growth stage of the PLC. And their KDA, their key differentiating advantage, is GT500 is the only beer brewed with crystal pure Serene Lakes Mountain Water and Boss Daytona hops. Some competition and trends. Each craft brewer's local radius continues to shrink, while competition also comes from cideries, wineries, craft distilleries, and what I call kombucheries, who all compete for on and off premise real estate and consumer share of stomach. On the distributor side, consolidation continues, resulting in fewer wholesalers. These Godzilla distributors are expanding their geographical territories, increasing SKU counts and brands, while reducing sales associate per account calling time. So what's GT500's problem? Well, wholesaler apathy, increasing competition from a variety of beverage segments, a fickle target market, finite on and off premise real estate, market conditions are also contributing to a concerning downshift in GT500's portfolio volume and distribution points. So then we evaluated four options. And the best one was number three, execute a marketing plan at consumer and wholesaler level. So a marketing plan was created that addressed the distribution, and I've told you before, distribution number one in the marketing mix. So it addressed the distribution element, focusing on senior wholesaler management designed to generate commitment, action, and motivation, or what I call CAM. And that brings us to today's topic, GT500 Brewing, Dinoing the Marketing Mix. So we covered distribution in episode 17. Now let's talk price, the second P. A competitive comparison of GT500's draft and package pricing resulted in the conclusion that the brand was in the ballpark. Kegs were priced in line with most of the other crafts, as was package. I found, however, that Holly did not participate in a post-off program. It was therefore decided to offer $2 off per case each trimester, and this was co-opt 50-50 with the distributors. We decided to drop price every 4 months so as to discourage bridge buying, which is common for many off-premise accounts. A bridge buying is when accounts only will buy when a brand is discounted. On sales incentives, we also synced up the post-off to three creative sales plans executed on a trimester basis. These discounts supported the sales force with more horsepower to accelerate the incentive. The final incentive of the year was a two-month-long, super spooky Halloween extravaganza designed to build sales momentum into the fourth quarter and carry over into the new year, therefore substantiating next year ABP asks. A GT500 also sprinkled in several pit stop incentives. These were 1 to 2 weeks in duration throughout the year for top-achieving on- and off-premise sales divisions. The top team could win a VIP experience at the tap room. Now let's take a look at product. So GT500's beers were well-regarded. Consumers and craft beer experts rated them as some of the best regional brews available. But sales were starting to languish for a few of the SKUs. So we wanted to find out why. Several qualitative marketing research studies were employed. The first was somewhat informal, where beer tenders at GT500 tap rooms recorded notes on consumer feedback from beers sampled. A questionnaire was created for the beer tender, who asked a series of questions on the beers to random customers. Results were tabulated by GT500 marketing. A second study consisted of a series of focus groups conducted throughout the counties that offered GT500 brewing products. I moderated these sessions while marketing tabulated the responses. Participants were not GT500 brewing customers, but did state that they enjoyed craft beer at least once per week. A third quantitative analysis was undertaken that reviewed 12 months of prior sales data by GT500 SKU. A case and keg minimum sales per month benchmark was then agreed to by Mark, Holly, and the sales team. So our product research results, the results from this marketing research clearly indicated that the heel and toe sour was simply not competitive relative to other outstanding sours on the market. Another finding was the Hemi Olallaberry Hef was really not liked very well by any of the groups. And then an interesting third point we found was the single overhead cam IPA's common denominator was that it was too malty. One focus group participant nailed it on the head when he said, "This beer is behind the taste bud times." So we made some product decisions. We decided to drop the heel and toe sour, drop the Hemi Hef. Well, this resulted in freeing up some distributor space in warehouses. This made our wholesalers happy. Now, the single overhead cam was rebuilt and blueprinted. The malt carburation was rejetted. And citrus pine hop valve lift at both the intake and exhaust was increased. Holly appreciated the marketing team's efforts, but wanted to know what could be done to curtail the endless on-premise draft handle merry-go-round. She, like other brewers, was frustrated with the account draft rotation. She wondered if this was a pricing, product, or promotion issue, or an external trend that she could not do anything about. This rotation nation trend reminds me of a story. When I was a little kid, about five or so, after my paper route, I used to go to Quimby's Confections on Grand Avenue in Piedmont, California, with my Irish setter, Barney. At Quimby's, they sold Shelby's vanilla ice cream, which was superb. Then after about 6 months, they got Shelby-branded chocolate. I loved the chocolate. Shortly after the chocolate introduction, they started carrying Shelby's strawberry-flavored ice cream. This was yummy too. One day, as I was savoring my chocolate cone in Mr. Quimby's shop, I asked him how the vanilla and strawberry were selling. He said the chocolate outsold the other two flavors by a factor of 3 to 1. Not intending to get deep into a product cannibalization debate, I had to ask if more space could be devoted to the chocolate or consider dropping one of the slower moving flavors. Barney agreed. Mr. Quimby wasn't thrilled with this line of questioning from a five-year-old and said that he might be expanding his flavor offerings based on customer requests. So he expanded with flavors from other dairies. He soon filled up his entire frozen section with a total of 20 flavors from 12 different dairies. The results for Shelby vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry were terrible, as sales melted to the newest flavors like mocha almond fudge or cranberry hazelnut cream. Soon thereafter, Shelby tried to keep up by adding new ice creams to their lineup. As more flavors were introduced, customers demanded whatever was newest, leaving the original flavors unscooped and in the cold. Thus began a demand cycle for only the newest ice creams on the market. This frustrated Mr. Quimby, who dropped the Shelby line in favor of newer flavors. Shortly after this newest and greatest trend, Shelby Dairy closed its barn, going the way of Frusenglaja, never to be heard from again. In retrospect, what could Shelby have done to avert this? What Shelby management failed to do was continue to invest in their core flagship ice creams. This long-term financial marketing commitment builds brand equity in product lines while affirming core target customers' wants and needs. This cumulative brand investment provides the target market with the reason that they buy or bought branded ice cream in the first place. Remember how great I thought Shelby chocolate was? As Shelby introduced new flavors in an attempt to compete with the local upstart dairies, they should have discussed and agreed to, in advance, with Mr. Quimby, a minimum monthly sales target that, when achieved, would preserve Shelby freezer real estate for each flavor that exceeded the monthly quota. Might you consider doing this the next time your team sells in a draft handle? Getting the buyer's pre-commitment to a volume threshold should help curb handle rotation. Shelby should also have committed to brand promotion, keeping their core, vanilla chocolate strawberry, top of mind and relevant to their target customers. Instead, they got caught up in the innovation race. The Shelby sales team could also have shown Mr. Quimby his profit per scoop when compared to competitive brands. After seeing this, he might have decided to help promote Shelby with a flavor of the day promotion. Hopefully this story provides some ideas on how to combat draft handle rotation nation. Now for the final P, promotion. So after a successful round of financing, I received a substantial marketing budget and the green light from Holly. Once we locked in distributor sales incentives for the year, the next step was to improve and update the tasting rooms to reflect the high-performance automotive brand positioning. The program goal was to increase consumer education on the brand's lineup while getting them to stay at the tap rooms and buy and drink longer. Tap rooms were renovated with bars that included the front end from GT500 Shelby Mustangs. This touch significantly increased selfie-taking while promoting the brand via social media discovery sharing. Now, GT500's brewing draft delivery mode was also creatively upgraded. Each beer was now poured from a 15.5-gallon, 1930s-style gas pump with brass Buckeye pump nozzles. The beer was visible through the glass gas pump, indicating style and fill level. Many customers came in just to witness this stylish and unique pouring method. A side benefit saw growler sales increase by a whopping 124%. Beer tenders, they were carefully trained. Each was tested on their SKU knowledge and the importance, the priority of greeting and educating every customer that entered the taproom. They were also grilled with a variety of potential customer questions. This training was repeated each quarter. Adding more emphasis to this critical first step to brand introduction, a beer tender secret shopper incentive was put into play. Beer tenders, who mirrored their consumer education training, which included highlighting the marketing story and KDA, received an instant $100 bill from the secret shopper. Word traveled quickly amongst the beer tenders throughout the tap rooms when a colleague won. The beer tender secret shopper program also attracted top talent to GT500 tap rooms and served to reduce turnover. top performing beer tenders were also candidates for future GT500 brewing sales positions. Tap rooms featured prominent automotive auctions such as Mecum and Barrett Jackson on several dedicated big screens supporting the automotive theme. These attracted, maintained, and extended gearhead target market attention and consumption. Now, with this high-performance automotive brand image, the sales team was tasked to go on a road trip in search of medium to large-sized car clubs. The sales teams got on each club's meeting calendar and made brand presentations to club members at their monthly or quarterly meetings. Samples, cold samples, were presented and cases donated for raffle prizes. Club members were also invited to the brewery and tap room and to the GT500 Brewing Coffee and Octane car shows. The sales team followed up with the accounts that supported the car clubs, making brand presentations to each. Sales team also networked with car club directors and members, thereby expanding account relationship lead potential. Then there are the experiential events. As you recall, these drive trial and awareness. So the marketing team went on an event searching frenzy. First, they met with their distributor management partners, inquiring about potential events. In some instances, the wholesaler was asked to negotiate on GT500's behalf. Meanwhile, the team continued searching for any event within their distribution territory that made brand sense and touched the target market. A calendar was then created listing all the events throughout the year. The event space mirrored the brand positioning and was typically 10 to 20 feet in dimension. This extra-large footprint was negotiated to accommodate the GT500 Shelby Mustang brand standing diagonally adjacent to the sampling serving table. To simplify the sales rep's ability to sell GT500 Brewing's beers, a 90-second video series on each of the beers was produced for simple iPad and smartphone playback. Each vignette featured Holly pitching the beer's merits while the Shelby GT500 sat in the backdrop as a brand differentiator. Each time a rep used the vignette in an account presentation, he or she earned spark plugs towards a mini pit crew pass for two at the tap room. So, episode 18, key points to ponder. Your tap room is a big block brand building muscle plant. Educate your customers through beer tender marketing story and KDA telling and sampling. Customers will stay longer and buy more. Ambassadorize those customers. They'll help spread your brand gospel. Use the tap room for product innovation and research, but be sure to cut slow-moving SKUs and always maintain product quality. Maximize your experiential event activity. Fill up that calendar. Trial equals building brand awareness. Motivate and influence the wholesaler. You can't win by yourself, so mini you, the wholesaler sales reps, to get exponential returns. Use branded product vignettes to help wholesalers sell and educate interested account buyers. And secure a substantial budget for experiential events, sale incentives, and taproom exploitation. Thank you for listening. Please check out my website at shinerunnercraftmarketing.com and contact me if you're in need of marketing consultation. Also check out my book, Craft Beer Marketing and Distribution, Brace for Skumageddon. Join us next time on the Brewing Network's Shine Runner Show for episode 19, Preparing for the Annual Business Plan.